B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Zoe and Beetle. Working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
With Josh Allen waiting on the snap. Let's see if the pass rotates back. He takes the snap. The Patriots come with extra rushers. A throw down the middle, and it's knocked incomplete by Miles Bryant. The Patriots brought Devin McCourty on the blitz. And Allen threw toward the left side of the hash marks at the 5. And Miles Bryant was the only player nearby as he swatted it down.
Miles Bryant making a play there. Miles Bryant has, started to develop into a player for this team. So this has been sort of a fun thing to watch with Miles Bryant.
Yep. And, hey, give him credit. You made the play there off Allen's decision to go to the outside guy. It's a double post they're running backside. So it's slot left, and they're running the good old double post. And I think to the part about Allen being a, you know, elite quarterback, league quarterbacks read that and take what the defense gives them. He gave up inside leverage to Miles Bryant, and Cole Beasley beat him across his face on the quick slant, on the quick post. He should have thrown it to Beasley, actually, because I think Beasley catches it and maybe gets the first down. I don't know if he gets in, but I think he might get the first down. Take a look at it in the All-22. Bryant reads his eyes and just falls off it. Now, don't watch Miles Bryant once he makes his break to the ball, because the ball's already leaving the hand. Look at the setup and the angle that Beasley had on Bryant across the middle. There was no one in the middle. And I think Allen predetermined, I'm throwing this deep post backside on the double, because he already hit him for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And he missed him on another touchdown on a slant where Jalen Mills was in coverage.
He had his mind made.
He predetermined
That's a good explanation as to why he missed it, because he had his mind made up pre-snap.
He got up there. He said, okay, it's cover zero. I'm dropping back. Okay, they're going to jump Beasley, and I'm going to just stick this thing in on that post to the left side.
Yeah.
And he missed it. He missed it. I thought he misread it. But you forced him to misread it. You bringing the heat made him expedite things. You know, overnight shipping. You went the 2-day or you went the overnight. He tried to pay for the overnight. It didn't get it there. Yeah. Should have took the 2-day. Ground shipping.
Yeah. I mean, you might be able to get your money back, but at that point, the damage is done.
Right. Pony Express it, you know.
Let's go to Jacob in North Andover. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
Good. What's up?
Yeah, I just want to say Sean McDermott's an absolute clown and tool bag. How do you not game plan to stop the run in these conditions? Like, Belichick owns real estate in this dude's head. Pats are back. Bills are dead. Let's go.
Let's go. They're not physical on defense, which is kind of surprising to me. I thought they, like, turned that corner. They established that. He brought that mentality there. Good, strong, hard cover, too. We'll beat you with our front seven. They couldn't wait to get to the benches, the heated benches in the park, as Bob even saw it. You know, it's like, that's not the Buffalo defense we know. That Buffalo defense spit in your face. You know, talk smack. Didn't get a lot of that from them. They got pushed around.
You've got to also weigh the demoralizing loss here and what that means going forward. You saw it last night. I mean, you're talking about hearing it after the game. We're talking about Sean McDermott referencing what happened with Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde as well. Yep. I mean, I get that to a lesser degree. Players pissed off, but that can stick with you. I think it stuck with the Patriots going back to the 4th-and-2 game. Right?
Sure.
I feel like that was the type of loss where they felt horrible about it, and it impacted them in the games following that.
You gotta be able to have good leadership. And I go back to that Cowboys game. 4th-and-25, you know, 4th-and-4, you give them both up, get the bad play call, you expose yourself on a CeeDee Lamb play. And then McCourty said, we need to get away from here for a while. Things are not good right now, mentally. We need to get away from the game. And they came back and they reset. Do they have that type of leadership in their locker room? Do they have that guidance? I don't know that.
Right. Was Devin McCourty up there snapping at reporters at the podium? Was Bill Belichick denying that his team had even lost? Right?
No. Stood there toe-to-toe, 60 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's bad showing after the game last night. Ryan's in Malden. What do you think, Ryan?
And what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Yeah, man. So if you told me that the Pats were going to win against the Bills with only two completion passes, man, I would have told you you're out of your mind. But, they did it. And I would have liked to see McDaniels have him air it out a little bit, play action, a little bit more. And what that tells me about McDaniels, him not throwing against the wind or against the wind, that he doesn't have a trust in him. That's how I feel.
Well, I think they trust him. They trust him. I think there's a mandate in this game. We're going to run it. We're going to play field position, kick it. And we'll take our chances on our defense. And we got stops when they had to.
But I like the fact that you're at least considering it. If you're gonna consider that, you know, the Bills were somehow demoralized to the point where it was the beginning of the end of, you know, this run that they were on that has really been going on for a couple few years, the ascension of the Bills that maybe peaked last year. And now this marks, you know, the true beginning of the downward slide. You also, if you're going to project out like that, you also have to project out what it means to have a quarterback that doesn't throw in condition games with the Patriots. And it's not a straight up comparison. It's rookie year for Mac Jones. And like you said, you know, that was the game plan and they were going to stick with it. But if you project a little bit further out, is Mac Jones a guy that is not going to be a conditions, like a foul weather quarterback? Because
you know what?
It's fair to ask that after a game when he was only allowed to throw three passes last night. Do you play in an indoor stadium? Are half your games going to be outside and the last half of the season in what could be inclement weather? That's a fair question to ask after that game last night.
I've been in a little room off to the side of the locker room there where you do the post game up in Buffalo, and I've been up there when, you know, Brady has come in and done it for the last 20 years. And I'm sitting there thinking last night, okay, here's the young kid. I'm looking at him. He's wide-eyed. He's 23. He's happy. He's just won. The team's going nuts in there. He's fired up for them. I don't know if Brady would be able to do that in that type of game. As much as he's a team-oriented guy, and Bill loves Brady and leadership.
Well, I think that's what the caller's hitting on. Would they have asked Tom Brady to go with that game plan?
It's interesting. Yeah. Because I don't think I think Brady would be happy they won, but yeah.
We
didn't do anything
confident
in the passing game. He'd be pissed.
But would they have been more confident in Brady to throw the ball, and they would have let him throw the ball more?
Probably. I don't know. I mean, he'd see more. I don't know.
They had the ball in midfield
when
the second quarter began. And now they had the wind at their back. And they did not use it at all to their advantage.
I thought they were going to have to hit one or two, like those crossers in the game. I thought it was going to be Myers. I thought it was going to be Henry. And he just didn't get it. I mean, your select play early in the game, the Jonnu Smith play, did that scare them there to where, ooh, that ball sailed, you know?
Yeah, so second quarter started, and they had a first and 10 at the Buffalo 31 a couple of plays later, and it was three runs with Ramondre Stevenson, and it brought up a fourth and two, and they kicked the 41-yard field goal, which I thought on fourth and two, given what we had seen pregame with the winds, and you'd know better than us, though, because you were there, and you even said this morning the conditions got better, not worse, as the night went on. I thought, man, they just ran three straight times, and now they're going to kick it on fourth and two in this ridiculous wind. And credit to Nick Folk. Holy smokes, that ball going through the uprights.
It looked like a gyro ball.
Oh, my God. I mean, he absolutely had a good grasp on what the wind was, which clearly was not going from the back to the goalpost. It was not only doing that, but it was moving, from his perspective, from left to right.
Exactly.
So he figured that thing out, and I thought that was risky, man. I thought that was risky, and I'm glad it didn't come back to bite them.
Once again, but half the scores last night, you got, you know, eight off the touchdown, the two-point conversion, and there's I count those as two more scores from Nick Folk. So, you know, last week he was responsible for 18 of your 36 points. Last night, you know, half the scoring that took place. And the guy is nails. You needed him last night, and thank goodness.
Yeah, and they kicked in that direction. They were willing to kick in the direction he kicked the field goals in.
Yep.
But not willing to kick it going the other way because they didn't try the extra point. They went for two. They got it. And by the way, that played a huge factor in the score down the stretch.
How'd you...
extra point going for two was the difference in the game. I mean, the Bills could not play for overtime at the end of the game.
How'd you feel about Jake Bailey's night? Do you want to talk about that a little bit on the other side?
Yeah.
Sure, we could do that.
Okay.
All right, we'll
Good
do that
coming
up next. Yeah. And we'll talk punter talk. Little Jake Bailey coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Anything.
Call us here for sports.
Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Zerac and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Joe snaps it back, this time true waist high, under a rush. And the kick is high in the air.
Oh,
it's going to take a right turn to the far sideline and land literally in the Patriots bench.
It's got to be like an 18-yard kick, if that.
First punt by Jake was a low-line drive that reached the Buffalo 47 on the bounce. The second punt, high into that wind, held up. Taken out of bounds 15 yards away.
Zolak and Bertrand. Pete will be with us momentarily. A little bit about Jake Bailey from last night. What'd you think of his night, so?
I thought Nick Folk was the better kicker. I thought Nick Folk was the best kicker out there. The punter for Buffalo Bills was better. Now, I think Bailey might be dealing with something and talking with Bob.
Yep.
You know, a little bit of a knee issue, which some had the sweatpants on. Nick Folk kicked off on two of them. So there could have been some tightness. There could have been an issue there. Or he just didn't feel right.
The last one that did not go out the back of the end zone after the last Patriots score.
Yeah.
Was that Bailey or was that Nick Folk?
That was Folk who kicked it short.
Okay.
Correct.
Because
they had a holder there. Held and Nick Folk put that around the 10.
Okay.
Yeah. But the fact Bailey wasn't kicking off, I thought, something's up with him.
Yeah. I mean,
you watch a replay of the first one he shanked out of bounds. It was like quick kick right over the Patriots sideline. He had the ball and you see him drop it and the ball just turns with the wind before it hits his foot in slow motion. So it's tough. That's tough kicking in that.
And we talked about it before the game. I'm sure Beadle and Gasper talked about it. We talked about it on Patriots.com, how, you know, the punting and, you know, the special teams play and, you know, how much Bill Belichick was going to, you know, get off on the idea that those plays were really going to matter. They did matter last night.
Yeah.
And it was not Bailey's best night. And whether he's dealing with something or not, that was something that they played well enough to deal with it. But for a game where special teams were and special teams play was at a premium, you got away with a couple last night. Yeah. That's the feeling I got watching it. A couple of less than perfect plays.
That wasn't his best night. And then he boomed the one through the end zone. And, he had one really good punt. You know, was moving left to right with the wind and backed him up, got him out of, you know, flipped the field position a little bit. The one went in the end zone. He had the touchback. You know, Buffalo had some of the problems too with that, with the touchbacks.
I mean, I think it can all sort of be chalked up to the wind.
Sure.
I do.
Because, like, in cold games, he booms. He kicks the hell out of it in cold games. So I don't think it's, like, a cold thing with him. It's just, you know, weather affects those guys in flight.
No, even Nick Folk, when you have the wind at your back, I mean, you're trying to pin it down. It's hard to do because the wind is going to take it in the other direction the same way it's fighting you when you're kicking into it.
I mean, look how good Folk is as a kicker. You know, just money inside, 50 yards this year. He knew in pregame that my limitations to the closed end were at the 10-yard line. Inside the 10, I'm good. Outside the 10, I'm shaky. That's how quick, you know, 5 yards can affect you like that, or, you know, just a mishit of the ball. So
617-779-0985. Josh in Buffalo today. What's up, Josh?
Josh, how you doing, bud?
Doing well. Just had a quick question. Obviously, living in Buffalo, Bills fan, tough morning for us, but after that debacle. But I was wondering, in listening to you guys and the Buffalo station, I never got an answer, really. So, obviously, the Patriots ran for 220 yards yesterday, throwing for 15 or whatever it was. But if they had thrown for 200 and ran for 15, would that be – that wouldn't be thought of as run as throwing all over the yard. So I was just wondering if it's the same yardage. What's the big difference?
Because running, it's very rare to rush over for 200 yards in the National Football League. That's a big number. That's very demoralizing for a defense. That gets defensive line coaches fired. That'll get a coordinator fired. Your lack of ability to adjust to, like what I said, you know, Mike Wendell in there for 31 snaps. You brought an extra tackle in. You're just telling the whole building you're running. You had to kill Harry in a game block. You're not throwing. And you still couldn't put eight around the box and stop it. It's problematic. If you want to be the one seed, if you want to win the division, that's problematic. You know, I don't expect teams like the Jets to adjust to that. Buffalo, I do. Buffalo's a better team. So we'll see. We'll see in 2 weeks. It's a big week. I mean, they got to get ready to go to Tampa. They're going down to Tampa to play on Sunday. So they got their hands full.
Yeah, without a doubt. I would just say that the yardage running the ball in this league is not equal to yards passing.
It's not even comparable.
So the top offense, you know, the top passing offenses are 4,500 yards and up, right? Every year right now in the league. Those are what the top-tier teams are doing.
I mean, Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan have great stats because they're always down in games. They're always throwing the ball, right? You know, when Matt Stafford was at Detroit, you're coming back, so you're going to have 400-yard days. That doesn't mean, like, oh, we got a great passing attack. You got to adjust schematically to what's going on.
You know, I think it's that 4,500 yards passing and up is elite in this league. And on the rushing side, anything over, let's say, 2,200, 2,300 is elite in this league, right? That's putting you top five-ish in the league. There's a big disparity between those numbers. It's like half. So that would just be the way I'd answer that. There's a big difference between 100 yards rushing and 100 yards passing or receiving. There just is. Cody's in Clinton. Hey, Cody.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. I just wanted to piggyback on Sean McDermott's wine fest of a press conference. Does he not even realize if N'Keal Harry didn't make that boneheaded play that the score might have been 14-3 or, you know, anything like that? I mean, geez.
I'm just shocked that if he thought it was such a horrid decision to put N'Keal Harry back there, why didn't you pooch kick it to him more? Why are you high-fiving when your kicker kicks it through the end zone?
Into the eighth.
Put it on the five. let Harry field the ball one, and then let Harry make a poor decision to run and get tackled at the 15.
Yeah.
Do that, Mr. Smarty Pants. You know, that's the counter. Then what are you crushing the ball through the end zone for?
Yeah, take put two it steps. In his hands a little more.
Take two steps and hang it up there in the air. Let him deal with a high one.
Joe's in Peabody. Hey, Joe. Joe, you there?
Yes!
Yes!
Oh, my God, I've been waiting so long.
No kidding. Holy hell.
Lou, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
I'm fine. Last night's game, call it a nail-biter? I don't think so. Nail-biter, you sit on your couch and you bite your nails.
Yeah.
I spent most of my night on my feet screaming at the TV going, what are you doing, man? It's like, why don't you do a fake sweep? Do something.
I know.
But, Jesus, I never played football.
I know.
I never coached football. But
I like the fake sweep.
The genius of Belichick, it was one plan. We're going to run the ball right down their throat. And whether it worked or not.
What do you do for work, Joe?
Excuse me?
What do you do for work? You hanging out home today? What are you doing?
I'm semi-retired,
sir. Right. Nice. Good for you.
But, Jesus, that game last night.
Yeah.
I watched it. I watched it twice. I woke up this morning.
Jesus,
I recorded
Christmas.
It.
Wow.
Did you stand up this morning and yell the way you did last night?
No. I was, like, right pressed up to the TV and watching everything that I could see.
Second time or first time? Second time or first time?
The receivers. Yeah. But, geez.
Okay.
I know.
Beetle.
I said geez.
What? You don't think that call was fun, Hardy?
It was fun.
You didn't enjoy Joe and Peabody?
We need that today.
Come on.
Yes!
Lighten up, honey.
For a game to be a nail biter, does it have to be a literal nail biter? Do you literally have to bite your nails to call it a game? Because I would call that game a nail biter.
I bet Mass
was a nail biter.
Mass is a nail biter.
But did you bite your nails?
Yes.
No, he didn't.
Does Mass bite his nails?
That game was in the balance until late in the fourth quarter. I mean, absolute nail biter. No doubt about it.
Did he say that he got up and watched it again this morning?
He did, yes.
Yes!
Yes!
It's a great call.
That was a good call. How long was he on hold?
I think probably about an hour.
Oh, God.
We're running about an hour today.
Sorry, Joe.
Falco in Vermont. Falco.
Hello, gentlemen. What is with the clock in Buffalo? I mean, Coach knows how to use the clock. And this isn't the first time this has happened. I thought it was NFL was supposed to run the clock.
What are you referring to? You're referring to the end of the game?
The clock runner?
Yeah, at the end of the game. The game clock's not running, but the other clock is. And the game clock should be running.
At what point? I'm not.
He was talking about the 123.
123
reset.
Down to 119.
The reset with the 9-second play clock.
Did run.
No, it stopped.
It stopped. That's 123.
Not the injury. It's supposed
stopped
to
stop. Stopped at 119.
But the
play clock was
still.
What caused the confusion was the play clock continued to run, but the game clock stopped.
So what they did is they
moved. Well, the game clock is supposed to stop.
But they put it to 123, then they gave the reset, then you could kill another 40 off.
Which is why I didn't see it. Again, they didn't show it on TV. So you said you didn't even notice it.
I didn't notice the player hurt, but you could tell what was developing, and then Belichick had him on it because now the fact that you had a defensive player, you had to get off the field that was hurt, you reset to 40. Substitution comes in, and now you replay it at 123 starting. Patriots are able to burn 40 seconds off from 123. We had no timeouts left.
The clock operator didn't do anything wrong there.
No.
It was confusing at first, but they did not do anything wrong there.
McDermott had no clue. He starts screaming as defensive coordinator for the guy getting hurt.
Yeah.
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 He was yelling at the sideline, not the refs on that one.
It was Dodson who went down with the injury on that play. But you also, if Dodson went down, was he dead? Because that's about the degree that I would need my player to be for me to excuse him getting hurt on the defensive side of the ball under 2 minutes with no timeouts left. You'd have to be dead for me to forgive you for that. What is it? Did you blow out your ACL? That might be excusable. What was the injury? Huh. What was Dodson's injury? And was he ultimately okay? Because you can't have that happen there. You got to get off the field. You can't have that happen. They lost a lot of time with that situation because the refs didn't catch on to there being an injury right away. It took them a minute, and that clock was running. Justin's in Salem. Hi, Justin.
Yes.
Okay, you know what? We're going to try and reconnect with Justin. In the meantime, we'll get headlines with Artie.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talk sports in Boston. We talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right.
It's
a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm at Sports Hub. His name is Hardy. His name is Beetle. I am so. My name is Hey, little Tyler. Answer the phone. Will you answer the phone now? Answer the phone now. Do you like baseball analytics? Do you like baseball analytics? T-Bone will say none.
That's really good.
Did you just write that?
Yep.
It's excellent.
No sleep. Man, 2 hours sleep. Do that for you.
What a talent you are.
T-Bone doesn't talk. T-Bone doesn't talk.
You know, Hardy.
Yeah.
Has worked on
the... T-Bone was the life of the Christmas party, Beetle.
Zolak and Bertrand jingles before at the holiday season, but I think Zoe should take that over.
A great idea.
What? T-Bone was the life of the party?
Life of the party. Just jazzing it up with everyone.
I don't believe that.
Him and Tyler, two wallflowers over there. Just staring at each other. It was a stare down.
It was not.
Wasn't it?
They were. I think they both behaved as normal human boys at a Christmas party.
And then they both exited and they both went to play.
No.
They played together.
No, they weren't joined at the hip.
I remember Christmas parties.
It's a good season. I'm thinking about having one.
Yeah, what the hell? Why not?
Is it fair to say you weren't invited this year, Beetle?
Tis the season.
I would say it's very fair to say. Yeah.
How about Zoe bashing on me after I defended him yesterday?
I love you, buddy.
I think that's an accurate assessment.
And no, it's just part of the show. You know that. It's a shtick.
I love T-Bone.
Seriously, how you doing?
I was so excited to see T-Bone when he walked in. Seriously. T-Bone Hardy and Ted.
How you doing?
I was really excited to see Ted.
Yeah, you guys had fun.
We did.
It was his birthday.
Yeah. It was his birthday. I got even excited to be more. Now, like, hey, we need to make...
Was it Leroy's birthday, too?
Leroy's birthday, too.
Nice.
From 96.9. And Leroy does a lot
and
more
And Sports Hub.
Yep. Yeah. Love Leroy.
All right, well, now that we've got that out of the way,
yeah,
let's go back to some of the thoughts on the game. Let's go to Alex in Roslindale. Alex.
Your old neighborhood, Hardy.
That's right.
Hey, guys, first time caller. Thanks for taking my call, man.
What's up,
and
Alex?
I just want to say that what everyone's complaining about, I think the Patriots are like geniuses by totally exposing the Bills. The Bills will never win because of the fact they can't run the ball. When you got your quarterback as your lead in Russia or top – two or three every game. Like, look what Indy did to them. Look what, you know, what even Jacksonville did to them. They're never going to win, and I just literally laid $300 on Tampa Bay this week, -3, because I won $300 yesterday.
Is
I'm doubling
minus
up.
-3?
They're all... Bucks are laying three?
I'll take them, please. Thank you.
Bills coming off a short week in Tampa?
In Tampa.
Yeah, and they're only getting three?
I got Tampa Friday.
Apparently, that's the deal.
They don't think too much of your boy Brady.
Well, we got touchdown Lenny.
That is true.
They'll be all right. We got Rojo and Lenny.
They're not buying.
They'll run it all over
at the moment. Brady's best win recently was the Colts game.
Brady's got to sit there and watch the New England tape going into this game. How about that little twist?
What's there to see?
Yeah, yeah. Does he? Or does he need to watch other games?
I don't think he needs to run. Well, you need to watch Buffalo defense.
What do you learn about that game?
Defense. Just,
but
just
it's conditions. That was the wind game.
No. But like the new guy, like he'll know from playing against Jerry Hughes what he does, how you can block him, what things you can do, certain protections he may need to check to.
Okay.
The new guy, right. Rousseau off the edge, the new rookie. You're going to find out in this game. Well, did they just block him with a back? Can we just block him with the lead fullback? Or do we need the extra tight end? Do we need Gronk in on this set? Do we need to do half motion? Is this guy quick enough? You know, you'll find out little tendencies like that. Sort of like a tear up the tape and throw it out, right?
Jonathan's in Halifax. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
First off, for the record, Scott Zolak, sneaky good songwriter.
Thank you. Better
put that out there.
Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to say I feel like we all love Coach Belichick, the coach, and the Coach Belichick, the GM, gets a lot of flack. I think this was a huge statement for Belichick, the GM. Look on the other side of the ball. How do you have a team in Buffalo, in upstate New York, where they're going to play half of their games probably in crap weather and their most important games in bad weather, and you have a team that can't run the ball or stop the run? It makes no sense. So give Belichick credit that he puts together a team that can win in New England in January, a team that can stop the run, a team that can run when there's a very good chance that you're going to be facing, you know, some bad weather. So kudos to Belichick. And shame on Dable. The guy's from Buffalo. How do you not know you're going to need to be able to run the ball?
Because he doesn't pick the players.
Right.
So that's part of it. Okay, he doesn't pick the players. He's not doing the grocery shopping. So I wouldn't put that on a coordinator. I do put it on the front office. I do, to a degree, put it on the head coach. I do. Yeah. But also, you shouldn't build your team to run the ball and stop the run. I don't think that's a way to build a team either, to focus exclusively on those things. That's not how teams win Super Bowls.
Yeah, you need great quarterback play.
Yeah.
Really good quarterback
play. You need the guy. You need the quarterback. They do have a quarterback.
They do. They got to build it around him more. And I think they are trying to do that. You don't bring in guys like Diggs if you don't, you know, you don't have that intentions, or go get a guy like Sanders to help him out in the passing game. Knox is a good young tight end. You know, he's only going to get better. They got pieces. But, you know, to the point of the caller, I mean, it's – you did nothing in a run defense. Going in, you knew, young quarterback, they're going to run the ball. They got three really good backs. You know, bad conditions. You know Bill. You know Bill's going to come in here and try and run it, and you still couldn't stop it. It's a mindset. The mindset of the Patriots is better than the Bills right now. Bills are kind of meandering right now. They're up and down. It's a roller coaster. You brought up Phil Perry's points on them. Phil's been on this. He has. They're not that good. You know, I don't want to call them a fraud 8-5, but they're 8-4 going into that game. They came out of the gate pretty strong this year.
I don't think his point is that they're not good, though.
No, but it's they haven't stepped on the gas and got hot. You know, teams this time of year that get hot, they're the ones that go on runs. Doesn't feel like the Bills are going on any kind of run. Last year, felt like they were going on a run.
Yeah, they feel like a team that, I mean, it's been win-loss, win-loss. They've been
teetering.
Yeah. They haven't gone on a run. They haven't sustained success this year. They had this the big win streak like what the Patriots have at the moment.
After Tampa, it's a pretty easy schedule for them. I don't say it's a must-win for them this game, but you lose this one, get to 8-6. Now you're chasing dogs, man.
They lose at Tampa. It's what, a full two-game lead the Patriots have.
Yeah.
So.
And you don't even have to play. Right now, you're a game and a half on them. Plus, you get another AFC win yesterday. Like, that's the advantage you have over teams like Baltimore. So, that's a big two-point play swing, right? Ravens elect to go for it instead of kicking it and play the odds, get into overtime and win it. Now, all of a sudden, they lose the number one seed. You pick up the number one seed. You go for two. You get it. And Hardy brought up the point, too. It's interesting, but I thought at the time, too, Buffalo elected to kick and make it 8-7, you know, instead of 8-8, instead of chasing points.
I didn't understand that at the time. Now, watching, they're like, well, they got the win. They got to, you know, they can kick the extra point. So what? Do you think a lot of points are going to be scored tonight? You immediately want to just put yourself in a...
Well, and that's no gimme from the two-yard line anymore. You're backed up, and that thing, their kicker didn't have much confidence.
They had the wind, but you saw, like, later on in the game, and I'm sure the kickers knew from their warm-ups that just because you had the wind didn't mean anything was automatic. I thought that was a curious decision, just to automatically accept being down one after your match touchdowns. Like, how many points did you think were going to be scored last night? And you're willing... Oh, what? I know we can tie it up here, but we're absolutely fine with being down 1 point. Well, you should be fine being down two then if you don't convert on the two-pointer.
Especially if the mindset of New England coming in, like I just told you and showed you, we're going to go for two tonight on our touchdowns. Like, oh, God, if we don't get this, then we're really going to be chasing.
You know? And maybe that was their plan. Nope. And every time we're going that way, we score a touchdown, we're kicking the extra point. The other way, we'll go for two. So, you know, if that was the Bills' plan, then they stuck to their plan. It didn't work out for them.
Or
the Patriots had a plan where they weren't going to throw the ball, and it worked out for them. I thought at the time, that's weird that you're going to accept 8-7 as your best-case scenario here if you make this extra point. Why not go for two?
Or did McDinkmutt just sit there and look at it and say, you know, he's going for two. I'm not doing that. We're going to just do what we do, and we're going to kick it.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what they did.
I'm not going to copy it.
I'm not copying. They ran it 19.
I'm not copying Belichick.
I mean, that's what they did. That was their game plan. Yeah. We do what we do. Congratulations. You got what you deserved at the end of the night. 617-779-0985. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zoe and Beetle.
Phone
phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Did you just put on a hoodie, Beetle?
No, I've been wearing this all day.
Oh.
It is a hoodie.
That's nice. Nice
one. Oh, thanks.
Nice. Champion.
It's back.
Whoa!
Champion's back, dude. It's a brand again. It's like a thing.
I think it was last Christmas. That's pretty much all my daughter wanted, with like a variety of Champion sweatshirts.
Yeah, kids like the Carhartt ones now, too.
Isn't that weird how that happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean... I see that certain age Champion never went out of style.
See that C on there?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Where did this stuff go?
It went away.
Why?
Under Armour.
Is that why?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what the champion had that really thick material that shrunk after you washed it a couple times.
Yeah, it would be like a full size. You could shrink it.
Because Maryland always had Champion gear. And every time we washed our sweatsuits, they like over dried them and they shrunk. And I'm like, geez, we look like we don't. We had mediums on.
I told you guys this before. When I first got out of college, very successful marker of anyone who graduates from college when they still live in their college town, and was working the overnight at the radio station for $5 an hour. So to in order to live, I had to work days in a t-shirt and sweatshirt store.
Right.
And the big order every year was gray Champion sweatshirts,
right?
Which we ordered. And then to save money, we would have our own guys do the screen printing. Mm-hmm. And all it was, the gray Champion.
You've told this story.
Michigan State, right?
Just plain.
This plain. We send them out, you know, boxes and boxes and boxes of them. Kids are come back to school next week. We get them back from the screen printer, every single one of them. Michigan State.
No C.
They had left the C out of them. Every college kid, every freshman especially, is going to be coming into that store starting in 3 days to buy their... It was like the school uniform. Everyone had to have one. Everyone wanted one.
Oh,
what do we do?
Man, but all those sweatshirts were lost.
So what they did was they took them back and they printed a big block green over the top of where it said Michigan State, and then reprinted Michigan State.
That's pretty
In white.
That's good looking.
Over the green, and I'm pretty sure they're still at that store. No one bought them. No one wanted them. They weighed about an extra pound because of all the paint that was on the chest. And no, that's not what I want.
Like that Celtic uniform they have with that nameplate on their back.
Michigan
lower
State
back.
Without a big green background and have it in white? Nobody wants that. Do you have, no, we don't have those.
I wasn't interested in putting a green screen on my chest. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, that was a bad week at Spirit, etc.
On
Grand River Avenue.
Huh.
That reminds me, my dad has this story he always tells about not getting a tattoo. He was in New Orleans when he was in the Army, and a bunch of guys he was with were getting tattoos, and he was thinking about getting a tattoo. And, you know, they're out, and they're partying, doing whatever, and he came back to the tattoo parlor where there was another guy there, buddy his, and he looks at his tattoo, and he goes... Wow, that's a lot of artwork there. Who's Harry Davidson? Harley tattoo. It said Harry Davidson. And my dad said, you know what? I'll take a pass on the tattoo.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
Oh.
Harry Davidson.
Was there a motorcycle?
And he said it was like big artwork, the logo, like, you know, the motorcycle
Live
below,
free.
You know, how it says motorcycles and it's split in half.
Oh,
the motor's on the top and cycles is on the bottom and in their logo. Yeah, Harry Davidson. And they like tried to block it all out. And he said it was a disaster. Oh, at least on Michigan State, it's on a sweatshirt. Dave's in Oxford. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I had a question. If the Patriots had Tom Brady last night, what if the offensive plan be drastically different?
Wouldn't
they have, like,
I guess,
been balanced 50% run, 50% pass? because of his ego, and plus more, they would trust him more than Mac Jones last night.
Yeah, I agree with that to a degree. I'm with him on that. Yeah. I think if it's Tom Brady, they're throwing the ball more. I think they could have afforded to throw a few more times with Mac Jones than they did. I actually don't even like when they did throw with Mac Jones in the fourth quarter. That to me is chew the clock, man. You've been running all night. Why would you change anything now? So I would sort of look at maybe the second quarter when they had the wind at their back as an opportunity there, or early fourth quarter. But yeah, if it were Brady, I don't think that they would throw three times. With Matt Cassel in 2008 in that win game, when they were up there, I tweeted this before the game last night, Matt Cassel attempted 8 passes in that game. Wasn't Brady. It was the year Brady was hurt.
Right.
So it's a little different. Again, it wasn't Brady, but it was still the Patriots. And Matt Cassel went 6 of 8 throwing the ball in that game in the Win Bowl of 2008. They've done this before. That's the other thing. You go back to that 2008 game. I know that there's not a huge difference between throwing 3 passes and 8 passes, is there?
No. And in terms of, like, did you pass the ball last night? Not really. Yeah, you wouldn't say yes if you attempted 8 passes as opposed to 3. No, either way, you didn't throw the ball.
It's about the same to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all sort of the same. So, again,
they threw out a necessity in those two games.
You know, how many rushing attempts was it last night? 46?
43, I think.
Okay. Maybe. 43?
I don't know.
Sure.
43 to 3 or 41 to 3, something like that.
I thought it was 14-10.
I don't. Oh, 51 snaps. 51 snaps. So 51 and 3. 48.
What?
51. 51 offensive snaps.
No. It's 46 rushing attempts for 222.
Yeah.
46 runs last night. In the game in 2008, they had 47.
Yeah.
They ran the ball 47 times for 168 yards in that game, and they threw it 8 times, 6 of 8 for 78 yards. This game plan was already used once. That's the thing that blows my mind about Buffalo. No preparation, no adjustment. Belichick says, you know what? Let's just roll out the thing from 13 years ago. We'll do that again. Yeah, it's Mac, so cut him back a little more. Like, at what point do the Buffalo Bills just say, oh, forget it. Like, forget it. This is ridiculous. What are we doing here? 32 straight rushes between the first and fourth quarter in that game last night. Hasn't happened in the last 40 years, according to ESPN. In fact, I don't know that they've been able to pinpoint the last time it did happen.
Oh, yeah.
They just said going back 40 years. Okay, when did it happen? Chris is in Boston. Hey, Chris.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Hey, look. Good, doing good, Chris. Very good, very well.
Hey,
thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, guys. Yes. Game 2 against the Bills, it's going to be even worse than.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.